Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." For more than 2,000 years, he's been doing all that he promised. Today, his church remains an assembly of his saints, providing a place for worship, fellowship, and instruction. In a world that often feels isolated and alone, church remains a place to connect. It's a place to call home. We're so glad you've chosen to connect with the family of believers at Campus Church in the Crown Center at Pensacola Christian College, as together we rejoice in the Lord.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 15. And the message is entitled, "Not Just Servants, But Friends." Not just servants, but friends. And you'll see where I get the title from the passage. Verse 12 of John chapter 15. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Read verse 13 with me out loud if you would. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." Not just servants, but friends. "For all the things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." So Jesus says in verse 15 to his disciples, "I'm no longer going to call you servants," or "I'm not just going to call you servants. I'm going to call you my friends." Isn't that a curious phrase, a curious statement? What's the difference? What changed in their relationship? And that begs the question to all of us this morning, are you a friend of Jesus? That's what I would like you to consider this morning. Are you a friend of Jesus? Maybe you're a servant of Jesus. That's good. And please understand, I do not want to diminish that in any way. That's a legitimate title for every believer. Later on, the apostles called themselves the servants of God, and we would consider ourselves the servants of God. But are we the friends of God? Am I? Are you the friend of God? Abraham was called the friend of God. That's a unique designation in the Bible. There's something special about that. He was called the friend of God. It was said of Enoch that Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God, so he had close communion with his God. Daily walking and talking with God, moment by moment throughout the day, this ongoing vital relationship with God. Do I have that? Do you have that? We all know what deeper relationships are like. You meet an acquaintance, right? Someone you don't know, and we all do this. There's nothing wrong with it. We all pull out the autopilot, superficial talk. "How you doing?" And have you ever wanted to say, when somebody says that, "Do you really want to know how I'm doing?" But that's a legitimate thing. "How you doing?" And it's good. "How you doing?" "Good." "Like your shirt." "Like your shirt." "Hey, cold weather we're having today. Brr." You know, you bring up something like that. You just, you know, superficial talk, trying to make conversation. You're just an acquaintance with that person. You don't really know them. Then along the way, you meet these people who are once acquaintances, and then you go into deeper conversation, and you realize you have commonality with them, common interests. And so you start talking about that. And then you sense this sincere care. They actually listen to you. You can dialogue with them. You go deeper with them and share philosophies and plans and ideas. And now you have a friend. And then some of those people grow to become your best friends. I believe this passage is telling us that Jesus wants that same progressive closeness with all of us. Jesus wants that. He desires that with his disciples. He desires that with you and I, with you and me. He wants to have a deep, close relationship. And there are many substantial benefits to being close to Jesus. So let's look at this passage, this short passage, and track this deepening relationship as we consider what it means to be more than just a servant of Jesus, but his friend. Not just servants, but friends. First of all, I want you to notice from the passage the example. Look at verses 12 and 13 again. This is my commandment, that you love one another. What, everyone? As I have loved you. Jesus said, I'm setting the example here. I want you to love each other like I love you. How is that love? Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. I'm willing to give my life for you. I am going to give my life for you. I'm going to set the example of self-sacrificing friendship and love. And I want to see that same kind of love in you. You see, the relationship of true friendship exists on a deeper basis than servanthood. The basis is self-sacrificing love. And that's the sign you have a good friend, and that's a sign that you are a good friend. If you have this self-sacrificing spirit, then you are a good friend. If your friend exhibits that to you, then you have a good friend. A true friend says, hey, I'll do that for you. Hey, I can do that. I'll do that for you. You need to move. You need to move some things. I'll be there. That's a true friend. A true friend sits and listens to your thoughts and feelings. They're there for you when you're not doing well. They're there for you when you're sick or when you're struggling. A true friend is willing to give up something for your benefit. And hey, folks, if you don't sense that self-sacrificing spirit in a person, they are not a true friend. Have you learned that? There are a lot of so-called friends out there, and they're selfish. They only make plans and show up when it's beneficial to them. They talk over you and demean you. They sap you of constant attention. They're leeches, so to speak. They want from you. It's all about wanting from you. They're unavailable and unreliable when you need them the most. They're not a true friend. Jesus said, I'm going to set the example so that you can see it. A true friend is willing to give himself. And so Jesus initiated and set the pattern for sacrificial love and true friendship when he died on the cross. The most heroic achievement of love possible is to be willing to give your life. And so Jesus said, I'm not just going to expect this. I'm going to show you what it looks like. Let me read some excerpts from an article written in the Washington Post on January 2nd, 2007. In December of 2006, Private First Class Ross McGinnis was manning his 50 caliber machine gun in the turret of a Humvee on the streets of Iraq when he saw an insurgent on a rooftop fling a hand grenade at his vehicle. He shouted and tried to deflect it, but it fell inside the vehicle. Four of his buddies were down there. What followed was a stunning act of self-sacrifice. McGinnis, the youngest member of his unit, threw himself on the grenade, absorbing its blasts. Ross was killed instantly. The others only suffered minor injuries. That is the ultimate in friendship. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Folks, that means that Jesus is our best friend. He's our best friend. He's our best possible friend. If you turn your back on Jesus, you're turning your back on your best friend. He's the best friend that you could ever have. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never fail us. He gave us life and he saved the life he gave us. He is our best friend. He set the example of the ultimate in friendship, self-sacrificing love, the love he exhibited on the cross. So we see the example. Let's move on. Now we see the expectation. Look at verse 14. Now, at first reading, it seems very harsh. I mean, just if you're just reading through out of its context, it seems very harsh. Look at verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Imagine saying that to your friend, okay? You are my friend if you do whatever I ask you. Now, I can't imagine saying that, right? I had a friend in college. His name was Chuck. Chuck was my best friend. Chuck and I were roommates for 2 years. Imagine me saying to Chuck, Chuck, if I tell you to clean the room and you don't, you're not my friend. By the way, I never had to say that to Chuck. One of the first times I met Chuck, he was in his room ironing his jeans. He was ironing a crease in his jeans. I said, that's the kind of roommate I want. I want a pristine room. I'm telling you, I grew up in a clean house, and I had an adjustment when I came to college. I had roommates that weren't as clean as I knew. But Chuck, I'm telling you, Chuck, if he would iron a crease in his jeans, I said, this guy is clean, and he was. And so we became close friends. Now, Chuck had problems with food. I'm cooking food. Later on, we became roommates our first year on staff. And Chuck, if you're listening, I apologize. I should have called you first. But I came into the room, and Chuck was making mac and cheese. And I looked into the pan, and I said, that's not like any mac and cheese I've ever seen. That looks like cement. What did you do, Chuck? He said, I just threw it all in there and just started to make it. How hard can this be? I put the water, the noodles, the cheese, everything, the butter, all in them. I said, Chuck, read the box. You got to go through an order here. And so he had problems with food, but was he clean? Yes. I did command him never to make mac and cheese again. I did command him that. I said, you will not be my friend if you make that again and serve it to me. But look at that again. Doesn't that seem, am I the only one thinking this? Doesn't that seem a little harsh? Let's get some understanding here. Jesus said to his disciples, if you don't do what I command you, you're not my friend. Now, first of all, Jesus is God, so he can say that. I think that'll help us. So Jesus can command in that way. Also, look at the context. There's a particular command he was referring to. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So he's saying, I'm going to set the example, and then I'm going to state the expectation. And really, really, listen, man, we're not going to have a reciprocal relationship unless you act in the same kind of self-sacrificing love. We can't have this deep friendship without it. Also, I want you to consider this. He said, I want you to love each other that way. Verse 12, I want you to love each other like I love you. That's my expectation too. Folks, if I understand this right, then that means we can't separate our relationships with people from our relationship with God. If we are mistreating people, we are not loving the Lord like we should. If we are not right with people and mistreating them, we're not right with God, we're deluded. We're deluded. He said, if you're gonna be my friend, you're gonna do this. And if you're not willing to do this, you're not showing true friendship to each other or to me. To each other or to me. And so Jesus here is stating an expectation, and let's all admit it, it's a very high one. We need the grace of God to attain unto it. We can't do it. We're not sufficient ourselves. We are naturally selfish. Our default setting is selfishness. So we have to rely on our spiritual resources and draw from the Holy Spirit to help us to act in agape, self-sacrificing love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It suffers long. It's not puffed up. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. And the list goes on and on there in 1 Corinthians. We don't have that naturally inside of us. We have to receive it from God. And as we do, we love God properly and we love each other properly, and that builds true friendship. And so Jesus is inviting us here to this mutual relationship of self-sacrificing love for others, which is an act of self-sacrificing love toward Him. It goes together. And He said, guys, this is my expectation. This is what I expect. I expect self-sacrificing love. And this Spirit, folks, will affect every area of our life. It'll affect every area of our ministry. It will affect all of our relationships. It will affect every act of service that we do in God's name. So the greater question that we get from this passage is this: what are you and I willing to sacrifice because of our love for Jesus? What are we willing to sacrifice? You say, I could sleep in and ignore this today, but I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend some time with Jesus today. I could entertain myself here, you know. I could just ignore that today. But no, I need Jesus. I need to talk to Jesus. I need to be in His Word. I need some time with prayer. I'm busy today. I need some extra time in prayer. I could just keep this money, but I'm going to give it to the Lord's work. Does He want all of it? Well, He owns all of it. He just wants a portion back, and God has to lead you there. But you say, I'm going to give this to the Lord. I could use this to entertain myself. I could use this to do something else that I want to do. But I'm going to sacrifice this. I'm going to give this to the Lord's work. I could feed this pet sin in my life, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask God to help me to give this up. I'm going to ask God to help me to give this up. This is not becoming of a believer. I'm going to give up this activity to please the Lord. I could do whatever I want to do with my life. I could do what I want to do, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give my life to the one who loves me the most. I'm going to give my life back to Jesus. I'm going to give my life as a living sacrifice to Jesus. Now you're becoming a friend of God. Now you're becoming a friend of God, because friendship exists, that bond exists through self-sacrificing love and service. And so we see this progression that develops in our life. It's fine to be a servant, but a servant works mainly out of duty and discipline. A friend goes beyond that. A friend desires to please and seeks to do out of pure devotion. You see the progression? Duty says, I've got to. Discipline says, I need to. Stop there. Those are legitimate motivations. Those are motivations you find in the Bible, in the will of God. Well, I'm not saying those are bad motivations. They're just not the highest. Desire says, I want to. Devotion says, what, everyone? I love to. I love Jesus. I'm doing this because I love Jesus. That's why I'm in the Word. That's why I'm in prayer, to talk to my best friend. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing for the Lord. I love Him. True friendship, by definition, does not exist without this love in action. A bond exists between true friends that causes them to do what others are not willing to do. Another excerpt here. Mark Wellman was a mountain climber since age 12. I found this article on NoLimitsTahoe.com, his story, his bio. Mark Wellman was a mountain climber since age 12. He climbed over 50 peaks until a freak accident in 1982 that left him paralyzed from the waist down. But he did not give up on mountain climbing. In 1989, he made history by being the first paraplegic to climb the 2,200-foot ascent of El Capitan in Yosemite National Park. But he didn't do it alone. He couldn't have done it without the help of his close friend named Mike Corbett, who for 13 days climbed with him, held him up at times, guided his steps so that he could make it to the top. That's friendship. Friendship takes us higher than duty ever would. Friendship takes us higher than servanthood ever could. When we're doing what we're doing out of pure devotion for Jesus, not just because we have to, not because just because that's what's expected of us, not, well, this is the thing to do now, that's what Christians do. Oh, I have to stop doing this. Oh, I have to start doing this. No, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Now you're a friend of Jesus. I hope we all get there. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. I hope we all get there this year in our personal Bible study. Not just reading chapters so that we can say that we've read a chapter. And there's a, once again, please understand me, that's a good thing if you're reading through the Bible, but not just doing that and checking it off, but digging, searching the scriptures, digging for truth, looking for wisdom, learning to love our Savior more, getting into the Bible because we love Jesus, our love letters right here, reading it, poring over it because we love our Savior. I hope we get there in our Bible study this year. I hope we get there in evangelism. Not just giving out a tract. Praise God if you do that. Not just doing that. Not just giving out the gospel. But sharing with someone the story of your best friend. Sharing with someone the news about the Savior you love. It's going to take you to a different level of evangelism. I need to give out the gospel. Here's my opportunity. I better do it. But no, I'm going to share with this person. I'm going to share with this person the story of my best friend and what he's done in my life. I hope we all get there this year, not only in our personal Bible study and prayer life, not only in our evangelism, in our church participation. That we come here every Sunday and we're not just checking a box, we're not just doing church, we're worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. That we're coming here and we're focusing on our Savior. We're learning to love Him more. We're being a blessing to those around us in His body. We come here with a servant's heart and we participate in a wholehearted fashion. It's going to take our church to another level if more of us do it. If more of us do it. Let's be more than servants. Let's be friends. I ask you this morning, have you advanced consistently? Have you advanced from servanthood to friendship? Have you advanced from servanthood to friendship? From service to friendship. Last of all, this is fascinating. Look at verse 15. We looked at the example that Jesus set of self-sacrificing love. We looked at his expectation that we would do the same. Now we see the exchange, verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. This is great. He said, here's the great benefit of a friendship relationship. This new term that I'm going to use with you reflects a deeper knowledge that you have from me. An exchange of more personal revelation. A servant is told what to do. A friend is given private information. The details concerning a person's thoughts and wishes. He said, I'm going to call you friends because I'm going to give you that information. You're ready for that information. You guys have proven that you're close to me, and I'm going to share that with you. In other passages, he said, I'm not sharing this with the crowd. There are many in the crowd that don't have ears to hear. He gave them hard truths and separated those that were insincere. And then he pulled his disciples aside and said, I'm going to share with you something that I wasn't willing to share with them. Oh, this is an amazing truth. When you get to a place of friendship with God, then he gives you personal revelation. Look at this verse, Psalm 25, 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. First of all, secret. We understand this. You have a close friend. You speak to them confidentially at times. You say, I'm going to share something with you. I haven't told many people this. I don't think I've told anybody this. I'm going to tell you something. I hope I'm not being trite here, but I picture God doing something like this. Psst, Tim, come here. I've got something for you. Here's what to do. Here's what to say. Here's where to go. Here's what I want. You say, Pastor Zach, does God do that? Yes, he does. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This should be just the ongoing experience of the Christian walk. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. He speaks to our spirit and prompts us. Now, it's not as objective as the Word of God, right? Written on the page. But here's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes this that we are putting into our mind and heart. He takes this and applies it to our situation, and he prompts our spirit. Now, we have to get that confirmed. And God says he confirms it through open doors, circumstantial signs. I believe that. Paul called it an open door. Something in circumstance said, this is the will of God. He confirms it through godly counsel. He confirms it through a peace in our heart that we're in his will. But it starts with a whisper. It starts with a prodding and a prompting from the Holy Spirit. A small voice inside of us saying, psst, here's what you need to do. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Those that desire to please him and dread his discipline and want to walk in his will and desire that more than anything else, why would God not show them his will? Of course he will. And so he speaks to our spirit and says, here's what you need to do. There's where you need to go. This is what you need to say. Here's how you need to handle this. Hey, here's a bright idea. Not only this, look at, there's a stronger word. Not only is the secret of the Lord with us, if we fear the Lord, but he will show them his what, everyone? His covenant. That's a stronger word. God will not only give this personal revelation, confidential information to his people, this private consultation between friends, God saying, here, I'm going to tell you, you're my friend. I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do and what you need to know. But he will show them his covenant, the knowledge of his promises, his arrangement, his provision, his blessing, the insight, some of the insight on how our life is included in his grand work in the world, his covenant. These disciples had followed Jesus and were close enough to him to have this detailed, these details revealed to them. More details about himself and his plan. He said, you're ready. You're more than servants. You're my friends. You're ready to hear this. God reveals himself to those who serve him and love him in this way. Those who by Bible study, prayer, service, sacrificially, in love, have demonstrated that they want to know him. I ask you this morning, what does God want to reveal to you this year? A greater sense of his presence and power, even in the midst of your trial. Some giftedness or area of usefulness, God will show you. Here's where you fit. Here's where you belong. Here's what I made you to do. Right here. The exact place, a direction, a place of service, a calling into a particular vocation, a life-changing truth, a witty invention, a bright idea, a good relationship that will help you. Here's the person. I've provided this person for you. They're right here. The best person. Many of us get involved in relationships that are not healthy. And God says, wait on me. I know you need people. I know you need those with skin on. I know you need that. God works through people. So God says, I'll bring that person to you. I'll bring that person. I'll put you in the path of that person. You being in the way, I will lead you to that person, the exact person that you need. A path, a way forward. And the more God reveals himself to us, the more we love him. The more we love him, the more we want to know him. The more we know him, the more we love him. It's cyclical. It's compounding until we get to the place where we can say with confidence, God is real in my life. God is real to me. Like Enoch, I'm walking and talking with God. I can't see him, but he's right here with me. He's leading me. He's speaking to me. He's at work in my life. He's proving himself, his presence, and his power through providential work. God is doing things in my life that are unmistakable. You can't explain them by human means. That's a God thing that happened right there. God is with me. God is real. He's more than just a name on a page. He's my best friend. And I walk with him and talk with him every day. He's my shepherd. He's leading me. He's right here with me. I know him personally. He's my best friend. Can you and I say that today? If you're serving the Lord, we are thankful for that service. If you characterize yourself as a servant of the Lord, that is a wonderful thing. But have you advanced to friendship? Ask yourself, have I advanced to friendship with the Lord? He has already proven that he is your best friend. He gave his life for you. And his deepest desire is to call you his friend. And so he wants you to do more than just serve him. He wants you to do more than just serve him. He wants you to seek to advance to the closest communion with him possible. Let's all pray this year. Lord Jesus, help me to be your friend.
We're glad you joined us for Rejoice in the Lord as we've discovered answers to life's questions from God's Word. For a recording of today's message,
not just servants, but friends,
call, write, or go online. Include a gift of $7.50 for a CD or $15 for a DVD. Write us at Rejoice in the Lord, Pensacola, Florida, 32523, or call 1-800-223-9727. Messages are also available on iTunes when you search Rejoice TV, or find us on YouTube by searching Rejoice in the Lord. Your financial support is vital to keep Rejoice on the air. Your tax-deductible gift enables this viewer-supported ministry to spread the gospel around the world, encouraging Christians and reaching people for Jesus. This is Rejoice in the Lord.
Every year we hear from many of you, and you say how much you love the music on Rejoice. Well, we love it too, and that's why for the past several years we put together a collection of what we think are the best musical moments of the year. And guess what? We're doing it again for 2025. This year's set is packed with beautiful songs that will lift your heart and encourage your soul. You can get 2025's best musical moments as a two-disc CD and DVD set, or if you prefer, we've made it super easy with a digital download option as well. We're thrilled to share this with you. For your donation of $70 or more to Rejoice, we'll send you the complete Musical Moments 2025 collection. It's our way of saying thank you for helping us keep this ministry going strong. And we don't talk about this often, but the truth is that your support makes all the difference. And right now is a time of great need for us. Your tax-deductible gift helps share God's word and music, not just in your area, but all around the world. So call us, write to us, or visit us online to request your copy today. Thank you for standing with us, and may God bless you.